And we are continuing our coverage of the chaos in D.C. and going live to Congressman Mike Quigley representing the 5th District. We've got Ryan Burrow, Steve Bertrand. Congressman, welcome to WGN.
It's good to be back. Steve Bertrand and I go back to no lights at Wrigley Field days.
Yeah, back to the mid-80s. But this is probably the most eventful time we've talked. Tell me about, were you on the floor at the time?
I was in the chambers.
Okay.
There were only 11 Democrats on the floor. The rest of the Democrats who were in the chambers were in the balcony for COVID reasons, for security. And I was there when this began.
Can you tell me what the evacuation was like or what you felt?
Well, here's what happened. Let me set the scene. We're halfway through the debate, and the Capitol Police come in and remove the leadership. Pelosi, Hoyer, Clyburn, and the Republican leadership. This gives you a clue that there's an issue. You hear shouting, yelling, bangs, noises, and then the Capitol Police come in, because we had started the debate again, and they look, there's two sets of doors, all entrances, they lock them all at the on the floor and in the balcony. And I'm surrounded by about 20 of my colleagues up there, Democratic colleagues, including Brad Schneider. So they start evacuating in different groups, but they announced that they have released tear gas in Statutory Hall. Now, Statutory Hall is feet from the floor, so that tells you how close they are. So I didn't imagine I'd have to see my members wearing gas masks. We were told to lay flat, crouch down, move to the other walls so that we're not in the line of sight if protesters breach. So members are upset. They're calling their families. And then they had us go to the far corner and literally crouch down. I had a Capitol Police officer with a gun drawn. Like, they were acting as if they were about to protect us from the last stand. The main entrance was blockaded with a makeshift blockade.
You know, Congressman,
that's the national capital.
Tell me that, because we've seen pictures of how they sort of rolled a credenza or something in front of the door. And the Capitol Police or security there with guns drawn. That's the door the President of the United States walks through, correct, for the State of the Union?
Yeah, sure. That's right. And they had their guns drawn, and we're watching with gas masks, and step right with the Capitol Police. You're sitting, crouching down next to a Capitol Police officer with a gun drawn in the nation's capital. On the House floor. And so I think the decision is noisy, conflicted. You heard shouts. I heard shots, but I don't know if they were gunshots or if they were tear gas canisters. They made a decision that we would, about the 20 of us or so, would make a break for it. And they ushered us out this door, down some steps, through some corridors. And now I think everybody who was in the chambers is, we're in a big committee meeting room.
That's where you are now?
We're hearing that the Virginia State Troopers are here. The Washington, D.C. police force is here. The Capitol Police are here. We are surrounded by Capitol Police. And members are calling their families. So it's a little surreal sitting crouched down trying to comfort your family person. Everything's okay.
I mean, that's a pretty incredible scene. I'm sure, you know, both parties are in there together. Is everyone, have you guys been able to talk with each other at all about what you just witnessed and how you plan to move forward, or is it too soon for that?
I think it's too soon for that. I'll be honest, there's a little tension. As this started, and they started shutting the doors and pulling out the tear gas mask, one of the members was shouting out, "Now you created this. implying, right, that, you know, what I said before, I walked out last night around, see the protesters, and this was an ugly mood. So when I got up this morning, I got, you know, about an hour before we went to the floor, I looked out on the East Capitol steps. There was a big protest there, too. A handful of officers. I texted my staff. I told them to go home. I said I didn't think we have enough security here. They clearly weren't ready for this, folks. Not even close. And the Capitol Police were awesome. They were brave. They did everything they could under really trying circumstance. Grossly outmanned.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Congressman Mike Quigley from the 5th District. And leading up to this, there's been a lot of talk of, well, we hope nothing will happen. We hope it will go smooth. Based on today's activities, have you guys considered, you know, changing, putting preventative measures in place for whether it's future votes or the inauguration? Does what happened today change everything about what happens the next couple of weeks?
Well, first of all, I think what I would respectfully ask my Republican colleagues to do, finish up your protest on one state. You made your point. You don't have the votes. Mitch McConnell came out against them and say, okay, we're done. Second, the President of the United States acknowledges that Joe Biden is the president-elect. So I get what you're saying, but my point is, we can harden the target. And look, I haven't had time to reflect. I'm still in a secure room. I think the president who incited this morning at the rally, he told 20,000, 30,000 people to go to the Capitol.
Hey, I want to go back to those minutes when you were being moved out and you said a Democrat was yelling at a Republican, you caused this. Tell me about that conflict and whether that's more widespread than just that one incident.
There's some tense moments. We'll get over it. I believe that before this insurrection started, a symbolic protest that they felt the election wasn't run, I would have understood, especially if no senators objected. Make your point. You don't have any means of doing this. Democrats have had protests vote on voter suppression. That's fine. But I think right now they have to recognize that this is an ongoing threat. We have a president who's having discussions in the Oval Office about martial law. So, look, to answer your question, yeah, we're going to need extra protection. Well, what does it tell the rest of the world that I'm sitting here waiting for the National Guard to come out before I can go back and vote on a peaceful transfer of power?
Well, I don't know if you have access to the pictures and the video, but it is a remarkable scene in the Capitol where you had a protester sitting in the presiding officer's seat in the Senate. You have them in Statuary Hall standing next to statues and posing with Donald Trump flags. You know, it's something that I don't think any of us ever thought we would see.
They were in Nancy Pelosi's office at her desk. I told my staff to leave. They were told you can't leave. It's not safe. We're not functioning as a democracy. And so, yeah, we're going to have to harden the targets. We were not prepared. But, we shouldn't have to be to this degree.
Were you able to hear the president-elect's address as well as the president's address from where you're at?
I heard bits and pieces of what the president-elect said after the fact. I've been mostly talking to family, somewhat talking to folks doing what you're doing to calm everyone down. So I haven't been able to keep up on the responses since then by the president and the president-elect. We're going to go back. They got to secure the Capitol, which is going to take a while. They don't know where everybody is. It's a big complex. We got to make sure it's safe. But we regardless of risk, we've got to go continue. We can't let an insurrection take place and halt or slow this process.
Congressman Mike Quigley, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you very much. Please be careful, stay safe, and we'll talk again soon.
Take care.
All right.